So we're going to be looking at John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8, but we're actually going to be moving around the scriptures this morning. The title this morning is A Pattern of Discipleship. And while the main scripture is out of John 15, we're going to be looking at many other scriptures this morning, all pointing to one truth. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is truth, God. And, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning, Lord, by your spirit, God. We invite you. Lord, please fill this place. Please speak to our hearts, God. We need to be changed. We desperately need to be changed, Lord. We don't come here this morning as a social club or as just a fun thing to do. But Lord, we come here this morning to meet with you, Holy God, to be changed by you, to be encouraged by you, Lord, to be strengthened by you, to be challenged, Lord, by you, that you would grow us and make us and mold us more into the image of your Son, God. So please have your way this morning, Lord, in your church. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title, A Pattern of Discipleship. Looking at John 15, you can turn there. Oh, if you need a Bible, slip your hand up, and one of our ushers will bring you a Bible. We'd love to have you follow with us through God's Word. We're going to be in John 15, John chapter 15, verse 7 and 8. Jesus speaking said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." So you will be my disciples. It's important to know that God gives us all a pattern to be his disciple. To be a disciple of Jesus, God lays out a very simple plan in that we can read it and it's easy to understand. Applying it's a different story. Sometimes it's not so simple following the Lord. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's sorrow. Sometimes there's grief. But the pattern that God gives us for discipleship never changes. The word pattern is used several times through Scripture, several times, even by the Lord Jesus. You see those words, example, follow me as an example, or you'll see the literal word pattern used. It's the same word. What is a pattern? Well, in Scripture, the Hebrew word for pattern is tabnith. And it means just that, an example or an outline to follow, to imitate, or instructions. A plan, something that you can see and follow and do your best to imitate. And now God is very much a God who is into perfect detail and design, obviously. Throughout the Bible, God gives men patterns to follow. In Genesis chapter 6, God gave Noah a pattern to follow in building of the ark. In Exodus chapter 25 through 31, we see God's blueprint, his pattern, for the construction of the tabernacle, the very place where holy God would dwell in the midst of his people. He gave them a pattern for that. It was to be followed. Exactly. Also, looking ahead into the New Testament, we find in Ephesians chapter 6, God lays out patterns for us regarding parenthood, family, our children. Colossians chapter 3 and 4, God shows us patterns for employees and employers and how they are to conduct themselves. Also in Proverbs, God gives several patterns for us to follow in our business dealings. And that's just scratching the surface, but you can find that all through Scripture. So the Bible is filled with instructions or these patterns to follow for everything pertaining to a life of godliness. And we live our lives day to day following patterns, don't we? We have set instructions for ourselves or guidelines to follow, schedules we call them. I've got to keep my schedule to keep our lives in order. You know, at the workplace, if you work Monday through Friday, 8 to 4, you have to follow that pattern. If you try showing up at 10 o'clock, you will be fired. It's pretty simple. You got to pick your kids up at school at a certain time. You don't break that pattern. You don't want to leave those ones alone. They'll be freaked out. Where's mom? Where's dad? We have these patterns in life that we follow. Our time with the Lord in the morning, our devotion time. Very important pattern that we should always follow, spending time with the Lord in the morning. I know some people who get up at 4, 4:30 in the morning and meet with the Lord. I have 5 kids. That doesn't happen. 4:30 in the morning, I'm in that, what do they call that? That REM sleep, that deep sleep, that's where I'm at. But as soon as I get up, I spend time with the Lord. We have these patterns to follow to keep things in order, right? When we fall away from our patterns that are given to us, our instructions, our layouts, we get in trouble. Had Noah not followed God's pattern for the ark, it would have been a different story. That ark would not have held up for 40 days and 40 nights. It would have been torn to pieces. Had they not followed God's specific plan for the tabernacle, God would not have dwelt there because he gave a specific instruction in every part of the tabernacle. It had to be just as he wanted it. You ever order furniture online? You know, bookshelves, IKEA. Some of you are laughing. You know where this is going. You order this stuff online and you go, wow. It's a 12-foot dresser. It's only $59.99. Why is it so cheap? And you see those two words, assembly required. Assembly required. The patterns or the instructions, first I will say, must be prayed over and sanctified. But if we don't follow the instructions and we don't follow the pattern, we just say, I got this, we end up looking with a piece of furniture that looks like Picasso made it. And then, because we messed up, we say, well, they just gave me extra screws. It's extra wood. Those are extra pins. Because we don't follow instructions very well. We don't. You know, and one of the reasons that we gather each week is to be reminded to follow God's precepts, to follow his pattern for our life. There are many patterns given to us in life, but when it comes to the scriptures, I think the most important of all is to be the pattern that is for being a disciple of Jesus. What does it look like to follow Jesus? And he gives us that. The word disciple in the Greek is mathetes. It means a pupil, learner, or student. Even also it's derived from the word that means imitator. To imitate someone, the pupil, the learner, the student, to imitate the master or the teacher, that's a disciple. And we want to be disciples of the Lord Jesus and in turn make disciples. For we all know the Great Commission in Matthew 28 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, or other translations are all that I have taught you. So not only are we seeking to be disciples of Jesus, but one of the blessings and one of the fruit that comes from that is God allows us to not only be made a disciple, but to make disciples for him. Disciple makers we are. And there are many things in this world that are vying and fighting to disciple us. There are many things in this world that are trying to disciple us, when ultimately we should be disciples of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 13, verse 13 to 15, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." But then Jesus says, "If then I'm your Lord and teacher, and I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Jesus says, "For I have given you an example, a pattern, that you should do as I have done to you." I've given you this example of humility, of servanthood, that you should follow it. In John 15, 7 and 8, as we read earlier, we're told to abide. If we abide in him and his word abides in us, that whatever we ask and desire, it shall be done for us. But by this, the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and you are my disciples then. So Jesus says, if we abide in him, that is to make our home in him, to surrender to his lordship, is what that means. That we are surrendered fully to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, sealed for the day of redemption. That we are his. That we belong to him. That is abiding in him. The surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our personal lives. And of course, not only abide in him, but he says, my word abide in you. And we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But in this discipleship of being a disciple of Jesus, this right here is paramount to anything else. The word of God. Church, we need to be men and women of the word. We need to pick up the Bible. Don't let it collect dust on the bookshelf. You know, if you're born again, if you've surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ and you have accepted the work he did on the cross on your behalf, you are forgiven and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You are now born of the Spirit of God. And a born again believer will starve to death without the word of God, because this is now our food. This is now our sustenance, what we survive off of. Quite literally, we know, we see in Scripture that man shall not live and cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The word of God is food. It's sheep food for us. And we need to eat it. We need to get into the word of God so that the word of God can be in us. You've surrendered to Jesus. You've given your life to him. Praise the Lord. But now we need to feed ourselves in the word. And like I share, even with the children, my kids, with everyone, sometimes you're going to read in the Bible and you're not going to understand what it's saying, and that's okay. Read it anyway. Read it anyways, because one of the awesome things that God does, and he does through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, is he brings things to remembrance in our lives. Something will come up in your life, and I'm sure you've experienced this, and you think of a scripture that you had no idea what it really meant, but now, in the time that you're in now, it makes sense. And the Holy Spirit brings that scripture to remembrance, and then you hold on to it and you understand it. You understand the meaning. But if you never read that scripture, then what would be there to bring to remembrance? So it's very important that we read the Word of God. Yes, study the Word of God, but start reading. Start reading. We need the Word of God to be in us. As I mentioned earlier, there are other sources out there. There are many things in this world, many false teachers that are seeking to make us disciples. The world in its fallen state is seeking to make disciples through corrupt government, corrupt schools, certain corrupt radical groups that are trying to make disciples of not only our children, but of the adults as well. Making disciples of anger. Making disciples of wrath. Making disciples who don't pray but complain. Now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we see another pattern mentioned where Paul declares that we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Do not be conformed to this world means to be put into a mold, into a pattern. Do not be conformed or put into the pattern of the world, he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? Again, right here. People say Christians are brainwashed. I say, yes, I am. Daily, I need to wash the filth out of my mind and out of my heart. And that happens through the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our greatest need, folks, is men, women, fathers, mothers, grandparents, co-workers, is to be disciples of Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to imitate Jesus, to grow in Jesus, and to make more disciples of Jesus, of those who are around us. And you know, the truth is, every one of us, you're all making disciples somewhere. Somewhere in your life, your children, first and foremost, husbands, wives, but someone in your life is watching you right now, and you are making a disciple of them by what they see in your life. They are disciples of that. We're all making disciples of those around us. So what's showing in our life? What are they seeing in our lives? What kind of disciples are we making is the question we have to sincerely ask ourselves. As I mentioned earlier, anger is real easy in these days. Are we raising up disciples of anger? What are our kids seeing in our life? What are our grandkids seeing in grandma and grandpa's life? Are they seeing grace, mercy, and love? Oh, that we would all hope so. We would all hope so. How do we stay in the pattern for discipleship? We need to stay plugged in to Jesus Christ and his word. We need to stay plugged in. We need to stay in fellowship. And I know that every Sunday and every Wednesday, even before I was a pastor, I was at this place every time the doors were open. You know, and I don't have time to share testimony, but God brought me out of a very dark place, dependent on, you know, 14 different medications. It was hell. And he delivered me. And not a day goes by that I don't stop to thank and get close to him and near him. Because I know that the days that I try to run on my own are miserable. That's when depression, anxiety, fear creep in. We need to spend every day with the Master. We need to spend every day at the feet of Jesus. And it's a matter of life and death. It really is. Because many Christians are being led astray these days. Many are falling from the faith, as Scripture tells us. But it's really sad to watch. To separate from fellowship. I know that Wednesdays, Sundays, Saturday mornings, whatever, sometimes work is required. You have to work to provide. But those days when you have nothing else going and you still don't come to church, you're missing out, man. You're missing out. Men's prayer, our men's discipleship class, our ladies' time of prayer on Thursdays, Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday afternoons with Pastor Joe Lovano, the Spanish ministry. I mean, all these things available to stay plugged in. But there are times we settle for just a Sunday or a Wednesday. And sometimes it is a work issue, but I think sometimes we just rather relax and sit at home when we should be at the feet of Jesus. We should always be there, guys. Always be there. Jesus shows us exactly what we are to do as his disciples. We are to humble ourselves and be a servant of others. He gives us the perfect pattern to follow. So we have this example to look at with Jesus. Now, I mentioned earlier about instructions and all these things, but it's so much different when you can see a picture. You know, when you can You can receive instructions, but to see a picture of what it looks like, it helps us to accomplish following the pattern. And in this case, our example is Jesus. And we ought to do our best to imitate that pattern and follow that pattern. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor or are weary and are heavy laden, burdened," he says, "and I will give you rest." And he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." In other words, follow my pattern. "For I am gentle and lowly in heart, humble. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we are to take up the yoke of Jesus. Now, for the yoke, which applied to the oxen at the time, you'd have two oxen and the yoke sits over the oxen to keep them together. You could do plowing and hauling and all that stuff, and it would cause the two to walk in sync with one another. So you'd have twice the power with just one movement. And for the yoke, if it wasn't made just right for the oxen, there would be, you know, chafing going on, infection. You know, then the flies come for the infection, they get in their eyes, and bottom line is you could end up losing your oxen because of an unfit yoke. And Jesus says he has a perfect yoke for us to carry. In other words, we are to put on Jesus. Yeah. We are to put on Jesus every day. Abide in him, covered in him every day. And we are to learn from him, he says in Matthew chapter 11. We're to learn from him. In Matthew chapter 16, in Luke chapter 9, and in Mark chapter 8, all three say this. Jesus said, "Whoever desires to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Jesus calling to the disciples to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow him. That's the calling for you and I. Deny ourselves, that's to humble ourselves, to be servants of others. As he did with the washing of the feet. He said, "Watch what I'm doing as an example for you. You do this. Humble yourself, serve others. Deny yourself, get yourself out of the way." He says, "Pick up your cross or bear your cross." In other words, own up to your sins. Own up to what you've done and know what you've been forgiven for. Not for a condemnation, but know that it was your sin, it was my sin that sent Jesus to the cross. It was our sin. I mean, we have to know that. We have to own that. We have to understand that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. But we equally have to understand that the price that Jesus paid for us, we could never comprehend. And we won't fully know until we see him face to face. We won't fully know or comprehend every filthy sin, every dark, twisted sin. You see what these groups are doing now in the world? Many of us were doing the same. And Jesus bore the payment for those things. He bore the shame for them. We have to know that. That's picking up your cross and following him. Owning what you've done. And being thankful for what you've been given. Bearing your cross. And then following Jesus. Following his pattern. Following and doing what he says to do. And after Jesus said those things, after he said to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him, you know what he said next? He said, Jesus spoke these things. He then said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So it's not just a polite suggestion here. We need to understand what we've been forgiven for. Pastor Joe has been preaching week after week in Revelation to know what we've truly been forgiven for and not to take our salvation lightly or flippantly, but to let it break us, Lord, break our hearts for what we've done, for the price you paid. Break our hearts. Break us into a million pieces, Lord. Because if we do not bear our cross and come after him, he says, you cannot be my disciple. You cannot. It is a requirement by the Lord. Abide in Jesus, right? His word abiding in you, as we read. Abide in Jesus. Let his word abide in you. Are you following Jesus or following the world? There's really only two choices. Jesus taught us that in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24, he said, no one can serve two masters. You will either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can only have one master. God, or as it says in Scripture, mammon, which is carnality, flesh, material wealth, possessions. You can only serve one master. Bob Dylan was right in that song. You can only serve one master. There's only room for Jesus. The throne of our heart is not a multi-passenger van. It's a one-seater. And either Jesus is residing on the throne of your heart or he's not. It's a sobering question to ask, because we all do fall short of the glory of God. But how do we abide in him? How do we stay abiding in him? We stay in fellowship with him. Your prayer time, devotion in the word, times like this to come together and worship together. This morning we're going to be breaking bread later on. We're going to partake of communion together. And you know why we're going to do that? So we can remember what he's done for us. Because we are prone to wander. Sheep are the most stubborn animals. And that's exactly what we are. We are stubborn. But know this. There's only one seat on the throne of your heart. And either Jesus is seated there, rightfully so, or he's not. Over this past few years, we've all been challenged in very different ways, haven't we? We've all dealt with things that we haven't dealt with, anxieties we've never dealt with, fear that crept in we've never dealt with. Well, you know, we've seen the whole world shut down. Our students, our kids, they're reaping the repercussions from this. They went through it. We've been challenged. But I will say this morning that if Jesus is not on the throne of your heart, you know what you need to do? You need to repent and ask him to be seated there again. Lord, please take my heart again. Take your throne, Lord. We sang, you're seated on the throne, exalted, but he needs to be on the throne of our heart, exalted. That's where he deserves to be. We can't serve two masters. Spurgeon said on this, he said, conversion is a change of masters. Conversion is a change of masters. Will we not do as much for our new master, the Lord Jesus, as we did for our old tyrant lusts? I love Spurge, man. He just brings it. Will we not do as much for the Lord Jesus now as we did in our BC days when we were just chasing after the flesh? I mean, what are we doing for the Lord? How are we pressing on to be close to him? Abiding in him, Jesus. His word abiding in you, that is the pattern for discipleship. We look to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, what did Paul say? He said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. Follow my pattern as I also follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, follow this pattern because I'm following the pattern from Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, we're told to join one another in following, he said, my example, my pattern, brethren. Carefully observe those who walk according to the pattern we set for before you. So there's a pattern there, the pattern of Jesus Christ. And he says, as I speak these things to you, he says, carefully observe those who walk according to this pattern that we set before you. Follow the pattern. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, we're told, hold fast the pattern of sound words you have heard from me, in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus. Again, all through Scripture, you'll see this word patterns pop up. The word pattern, literally the word, is used one time in the Old Testament, several times in the New Testament, but a like word in the Old Testament would be examples, instructions, precepts, and we see that all through the Old Testament. So he says to hold fast, hold tight the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in faith, in love, which are in Christ Jesus. Again, the pattern from Christ Jesus, he says, hold fast to this. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, tells us, in all things, showing yourself, speaking to the church, a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and sound speech. God is very much into design and patterns, very much into them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we see he tells us that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What's cool about that is it goes on to say, which God has prepared beforehand, has laid a pattern beforehand that we should walk in them. So for each and every one of us, we have a divine design that God has placed for us that we should walk in this pattern. We call it the perfect will of God at times. God's will for our life, our sanctification, being set apart, being solely for him, for his purpose, for the master's purpose. That's why Jesus said, if you do not deny yourself, if you do not pick up your cross and you do not follow, you cannot be my disciples, he said. That's why he said that. Because we have work to do, gang. There is a lost and dying world outside these doors, and they don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in our lives. It's plain and simple. Lays it out for us all through the New Testament. Show yourself, he says, show yourself to be a pattern. Show yourself to be a pattern of Jesus Christ. Show yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, and having sound speech. Show yourself to be a pattern of Jesus. You know, that's the cool thing. One of the cool things about the Lord is he calls us all to be his ambassadors. He calls us to go and share his perfect, perfect word, his perfect plan of salvation. We get to share that. We get to. We get to be a reflection of Jesus out there in this world. And the world needs to see Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, we're reminded, he says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example or a pattern that you should follow in his steps, it tells us. I mentioned earlier in the pattern of following Jesus, there will be times of suffering. There will be times of sorrow. And when Jesus told the disciples that they would go through much tribulation, he said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. No matter what you're going through, Be of good cheer that it's temporary. It will pass one day. It will pass one day. This is not our forever home, praise God. We are in these corruptible bodies, fighting a sinful nature, battling the flesh, the enemy, and the world. And all that one day is going to be done away with, because the soon return of Jesus is near. And he's looking for a bride without spot and blemish. I pray that all of us can say that Jesus is on the throne of my heart. Because in these days we live, we can't take any chances, gang. We need to make sure that he is seated on the throne of our heart, and that we are desiring to follow Jesus. We're not following Calvary Chapel. You're not following Pastor so-and-so. We're following Jesus here. We are Jesus people. We are saved by grace through faith. We have been cleansed. We have been washed by the blood of Jesus. We are his. We're Jesus people. So we need to act like it. We need to leave these doors and act like it. We need to be imitators of Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Don't let the motive of love disappear in your life. Don't let love go to the background. It needs to be right up front. The motive in which we do anything should be the motive of our love for Jesus. And why should it be that way? Because in 1 John chapter 4, it says that we love him because he first loved us. So we should love him. We should love him. We're making disciples wherever we're going. With our children, our family, our friends, co-workers, we are making disciples of ourselves. And we desperately need the power of God in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit, to conquer and slay anything in our lives that is holding us back. Or as Corinthians teaches us, anything that's exalting itself against the knowledge of God, any strongholds, we need to pull those things down in the mighty name of Jesus. And we need to cast those things to the side so that we can be proper representatives of the Lord and so that we can love well. We can't play with sin. We can't toy with sin. Jesus paid far too great a price and suffered more than we can comprehend because of sin. Do not play with sin. We have a sin washer. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin to him, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of how much of our sin? All of it. And wash us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us. Make us whole. I remember we went to a retreat about 9-10 years ago up the mountain over here. John Corson was sharing with the guys. And he told the story of the 1 John 1:9. Some guy came up to him after he taught that. And the guy said, "John, you just told me I should pray daily and ask God to forgive me and cleanse my heart." He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, then I'd be praying all the time." He said, "Exactly. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Not flogging ourselves, but we are to be praying and in communion with Holy God throughout the day." And yes, we do need that cleansing in the morning. Early morning, late morning, early afternoon, late afternoon, throughout the day. Because all it takes is an impure thought, and it starts to corrupt our hearts. It starts up here, and it's not long, it works its way to here. And we can be deceived very easily. We can walk in love on Sundays, but then we become tyrants the rest of the week. And it shouldn't be so. And so we have, again, to follow this pattern, we've been given every tool necessary to follow it. Every tool. So we're without excuse, basically. We must be imitators, followers of Christ, if we want to see godly discipleship spread to our families and communities. It's very important. That's what turned the world upside down with the 12 disciples. 11. That's what flipped them upside down, flipped the world upside down, is they went out and they proclaimed the gospel unashamed, bold in their love for people, bold in their love for Jesus. And look what the Spirit of God did through all those men. Back in the 60s with the Jesus movement, man, that wasn't a man-made thing. The Holy Spirit came upon men and women everywhere, convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. And they surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Then they were on fire for the Lord. They were on fire for the Lord. And Chuck Smith always said it's the second and third generation that you have to watch out for. He was always concerned about the second and third generation in Calvary. And here I stand in that part of that generation, and I see it. I see many going astray. I see many going after false doctrines, false teachings, man. And it's just the Word of God. But we have to add, we feel like we have to add to it somehow. Put our mark on it. We need to keep our fingerprints off of God's work completely. Keep our fingerprints off His work, off His glory, and let Him work. So the question to ask ourselves this morning, what does your pattern look like? If I was to spend the next 2 weeks, every hour with you, what would I learn? What would I see in your life? You know, they have these reality shows where these cameras follow these people around. And my heart breaks for the people. What are you doing, man? We got enough going on in life to have somebody watching every move. But what we see in people on those shows is incredible. It's amazing. What do people see in your life? What pattern are you leaving for others to follow? In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The NLT version, which I liked on this verse, said, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. There is no other truth. And there is no one else, no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved. Eternal life because of Jesus Christ. And in Him alone, abiding in Him and His word abiding in you, and we can be disciples for the Lord Jesus. Maybe some things have crept into your life. I don't know where you're at. God does. But here in a moment, I'm going to invite Pastor Joe Luivano as he's going to share in communion. And I would just say right now, to get alone with the Lord right now in the quietness of your heart and invite Him to be enthroned on the throne of your heart. Let Him take that seat. And if there's anything that's hindering allowing Him to be on the throne of your heart, ask Him for forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. Maybe we've all gone astray. Maybe we've all messed up this week. Maybe we've all been trying to get by each week on cheap grace from the world. When God has an abundance of grace for us, and He wants to do so much in your life and use you in such a mighty way. He wants you to know that He loves you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be with you even through the ends of the age. He will be with you. And He told the disciples, He said, do not be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you, he said. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come for you and you will be with me. And he said, if it was not true, I would tell you. But I go to prepare a place for you.